we come to you this morning, our unfailing, triumphant, victorious God. We lift our eyes to you, the maker of heaven and earth, knowing that, Father God, you are watching over us, you are ever present with us, and we thank you for that presence. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, that you are our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble, and that, Father God, you go before us and behind us. We thank you this morning. We lean into your word, and we ask for your direction, for your wisdom, for your instruction, for you to grant us discernment, Lord God, as we go about our daily lives and as we listen this morning, that you would change us from the inside out. We want so much to look more like Jesus every time we encounter you and every time we listen and lean into your word. Love you so big. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're in our series called Relationship Goals, right? We've been in it for the last couple of weeks, and we're really just looking at four goals, right? Four goals. Truths from God's Word that can help us in our relationships. And I've been kind of focusing on marriages, but really all of our relationships, right? Four truths from God's Word. Relationship goals. And they are, these goals are start with you, seek God, slay the devil, stay together. And so like every week, I want to get you to say those with me, all right? Here we go. Start with you, seek God, slay the devil, stay together. All right, that was pretty good. This morning we're going to talk about slaying the devil. And I've been excited about this this message since I started and since I began to think about this series. But we're going to talk about slaying the devil in our relationships, standing together against the schemes of evil. And you would say, Monty, why in the world are we talking about this? Well, here's the reason. We need to understand and never forget that we have a spiritual enemy who hates God and hates everything that matters to God. And that includes you and that includes me. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And we need to understand that. That the thief, Satan, the devil, comes only to steal our identity and to kill our hopes and dreams and destroy any shot that we have at being the person that God has called us to be. And I really believe that's why Paul closes out the letter to the church of Ephesus in this way. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 6, and we're just going to read 10 through 13 there, and then some other verses after that. But I just really want you to lean into this, and this is going to be more teaching than preaching today. It's going to be a lot of information, but I want you to get it. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Can you imagine that the father of lies, that the prince of darkness, and all the demons in hell scheming against you, looking for where you are weak, looking for where you're vulnerable, studying your marriage, your relationships, trying to devour, to kill, or to destroy. Paul said this. He says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. In other words, your spouse is not your enemy. But instead, we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world. So what do we know? Well, whatever God blesses, the devil curses. Whatever God loves, the devil attacks. If you've ever find yourself struggling in a relationship, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're afraid, you're resentful, you're hurting, you're losing trust. Again, remember, your spouse is not your enemy. You're fighting against spiritual forces of this dark world scheming to hurt you. And I think the reason why life is so hard, why it is so tough, why it's difficult, the reason why you have so many battles in your life is that there are unseen forces around you. I call it the invisible war that's going on around us. And there are four things that Paul teaches us in this passage about fighting the battles that we are in, that we fight. And the first one is this: battles are guaranteed. It says that you may be able to stand your ground in the day of evil. And so I know we live in an evil world, and I know we face temptations every day of our lives. But that phrase, the day of evil, sort of indicates to me that there are some times in our lives when it seems like everything falls in on us. Everything just caves in on us. And so the Bible says if you would put on the full armor of God, you know, if you would put that on now, that when the day comes, you'll be able to stand firm. Because battles are guaranteed. They're guaranteed. They're going to be part of every one of our lives. And it's not that something is necessarily wrong with you. It's not that you're a better sinner than anyone else. It's just that we all face battles. It's part of this life. Jesus faced battles when he was here. Battles are guaranteed. And I hate to tell you, you were born into a battle. There is this unseen war going on between good and evil, between light and darkness, and between God and Satan. The second thing, though, is that the enemy is real. The enemy is real. Again, one of the reasons why you walk around defeated and discouraged all the time is because you don't maybe know who the real enemy is. You often think, you know, your enemy is other people, and they're not the real enemy. The devil is. The devil is real. He's real. He's actual. He's factual. He's not just a force, okay? And I know we like to joke about Satan. You know, we think of him in little red pajamas, right, with a tail and horns and a pitchfork. In fact, we name our teams after the devil, right? We like to joke about it. But listen, Satan is no laughing matter. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your career. He wants to destroy your life. Satan wants to mess up your life. And notice it says he has strategies and tricks. I mean, Satan is subtle. Satan is strategic. Satan is smart. He's far smarter than you and I. So don't try to outsmart Satan. You're never going to outsmart him. And he's not afraid of you at all. But the third thing that Paul tells us in this passage is that victory is possible. Victory is possible. I want to give you God's definition of victory from this verse. Here it is: standing at the end. Standing at the end. That's his definition. For God, our life in this world isn't some 100-meter dash where we sprint, right? And you're victorious and you get a medal and you get to, you know, to parade it around the rest of your life. That's not victory in this world. For God, it's more like a marathon. In a marathon, everybody who finishes has some sense of victory, even if they weren't first in line. If they finish that long race, they feel like, wow, I've won this race. I did it. I've accomplished it. And in every one of us, it doesn't matter where you are, we are in a marathon. For me, then, the definition for victory is standing at the end. And the good news, bad news is you're born into a battle. The good news is you were born to win. You were born to win. 1 John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So listen, Satan is not afraid of you, but he's afraid of who is in you. He's afraid of God. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. When God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is in you, you don't have to be afraid of Satan. And then the fourth thing is this: I must get dressed for the battle. I mean, nobody would go out into a battlefield naked, right? Like, nobody would go on the football field without putting on some padding and suiting up and putting on a helmet you know, and those kind of things. You know, I always tell the students, you know, don't fight naked. I mean, what do I say? Don't date naked, right? Don't date naked. Put on the full armor of God. You don't just go out into a fight without being prepared for it. I must use every piece of armor. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. God says you can have victory, that you can stand in the place of victory, of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. But he said you're going to have to put on every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy, so that you're standing after all these things have happened. You're standing. And so I begin to think, you know, how can I make this shorter? And God kept saying, I'm telling you, I'm writing it here. Put on the full armor of God. And so we're going to walk down through every piece of armor, because I think it's that important. And so you can just follow down as we begin to understand what this armor is all about. And the first one is this. It's the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Verse 14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth gives your life stability. It gives your life strength. If your life isn't based on truth, then you're going to have sinking sands, shifting sands. You're not going to have that strong core. You know, sometimes when you lift weights or do other things, you put that belt around your waist. Man, it kind of sucks in all that stuff you don't want other people to see. But, you know, you tighten that thing up. I like it when you tighten it up. It kind of makes you... But it gives you a strength here in your core, right? And that's what the belt of truth does for us. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, the person who builds his life or her life on my truth is like a person who builds his house on the rock when hurricanes come or when earthquakes come. Because you're built on the truth, you're like a house on the rock. You're going to withstand it. But he said, if you don't build your house on truth, your life on truth, it's going to be shifting sands, and it will be easy just to blow you over. It's the belt that holds everything together. And if your life isn't based on truth, it's going to fall apart. So you need that truth in your life. You need integrity, moral integrity, relational integrity, financial integrity, sexual integrity. You need integrity in the different areas of your life. I've shared this with you before, but let me do it again. Integrity doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean you always do the right things, because if you had to be perfect at integrity, nobody's got integrity, right? Because nobody's perfect. Every one of us slip. Every one of us stumbles. So integrity is not compartmentalizing your life so that you don't appear different ways with different people. Integrity comes from the word integer, which means unit of one. It means your life is not a bunch of the pieces of pie. But it's more like the feeling in the middle, right? In other words, that you act the same way with everybody. You don't act one way at work and another way at church. You don't act one way at home and another way with your friends. Integrity means what you see is what you get. That you're not faking it. The opposite of integrity is knowing the truth and not doing it. And that's called hypocrisy, which is when you begin to wear masks. So integrity is the opposite of hypocrisy, which means I'm exactly what I appear to be. And if you lack integrity in any area of your life, you're going to be vulnerable. As I said, if you segment your life and say, this is my church life, and this is my work life, and this is my sex life, and this is my secret pornography life, and this is my sports life, and this is my friendship life, and this is my social life, you already lack integrity, because you're not acting the same in all areas of your life. Integrity is knowing the truth, but more than just knowing it, it's doing the truth. And that's what this belt gives us. This belt of truth gives you stability. It holds you together in the middle, in the tough times. It gives you strength. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. It says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, And let me just say this, righteousness is not earned by us. Righteousness is credited to us. It's not like the lottery. It's not a luck kind of thing. It's God's choice to credit it to us. Romans 3:22 says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And so the way to open up that credit account is faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible tells us exactly how God does it. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God credited this righteousness to us when we trusted in what Jesus did for us on the cross. What is it? Righteousness is being right before God and becoming right with others. It starts with being right before God. So don't get that backwards, all right? Don't try to become righteous, to earn righteousness by making all your relationships on this earth right and doing a lot of good things and trying to earn it that way. You have to have it credited to your account. That you start, you know, if you have it credited to your account, then you can start spending off that credit account by developing your relationships here and by acting in new ways towards people. That's what righteousness is. This thing of righteousness that the Bible talks about so much, you know, you begin to think about, you know, how does it protect us? You know, it says, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. You know, so my heart is protected, right? My heart is protected from Satan's attack. And remember, again, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. It protects the vital organs, you know, that breastplate. It protects our heart, the most vital of all organs. And spiritually, my spiritual heart is protected from Satan's attack when I focus on my new relationship that I have with God. And as I act out this new relationship that I have with others, it's really the first two commandments that Jesus gave to us. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The righteousness that God credits to my account gives me the strength and the ability to do that. I can't do it on my own. God gives us the strength to do that and to live that out. The third piece is the gospel of peace. 15 says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so what is this gospel of peace? It's the good news about God's peace accomplished in our lives. It's peace between man and God. It's peace of mind and peace of heart. It's all about the good news of salvation in our lives. And so how does this good news of peace between man and God help me? You know, how does this good news that I have between, you know, between man and God, how does it help me in the battle? It helps me in the battle because it keeps me ready. It's like the shoes you're wearing on your feet. It's the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, in battle they had these knobs on the bottom of their shoes so they could have firm footing, right? You wouldn't wear your Crocs out into a battle, right? Comes from wearing the gospel of peace on your feet so that you are ready for battle. You can't face a battle without shoes on. You're not going to do well in the battle. Paul writes and says, you need to put on the gospel of peace, ready for victory. Don't discount the value of the good news of Christ in keeping you ready to win the victory of Christ in everyday life. Again, bad news gets us ready for defeat, but good news gets us ready for victory. And so how do I wear this news? Well, when I get up in the morning, you know, how do I put them on? Here's a good clue. Romans 10:15 says, how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's a great verse about witnessing, about sharing your faith. It's saying, look how beautiful it is when someone shares with another person the good news about Jesus Christ. And so how do I wear the gospel shoes of peace? I share the good news. I share the good news. And for those of you who are already believers, it becomes more real when you share it with somebody else. In your own life, you know it's real because sometimes you get sort of depressed by all the other news in life. But when you get a chance to share with somebody else the good news in this life, It's like it brings your life back again. And I know you might not get a chance every day to share the good news specifically with somebody, but the Bible says when we're ready to, when we're looking for opportunities, when we're looking for people to pray for, that they'll understand the good news. And that's one of the things that gets us ready for victory in everyday life. It keeps me ready for victory. And then look in verses 16 through 17. It says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. These next three kind of talk about what happens when, you know, the missiles, the fiery darts begin to attack you. The first is the shield of faith. And what is the shield of faith? What does it mean to us? The definition of faith in this context is our absolute confidence in God. Confidence in His promises, in His power, in His plan for our lives. It's the shield of faith. This is the faith in, you know, in God, in that God promises us that when something comes against us, whether it's deception or, you know, discouragement or depression or attack, the shield of faith is claiming God's promises, trusting God's character, and applying God's truth and holding it up to deflect the lies and the darts. I saw a bumper sticker many, many years ago that said, God said it, I believe it. And that settles it for me. Anybody see, you know that saying? Yeah. That's okay. But really, the bumper sticker should say, God said it. That settles it, whether I believe it or not. Because God's truth isn't based on whether you believe it or not. It's still truth, even if you don't believe it. Because God cannot lie. God said it. That settled it, whether you believe it or not. So what God said about sex before marriage is true, whether you believe it or not. What God said about life is true, whether you believe it or not. What God said about marriage between one man and one woman forever, you know, is true, whether you believe it or not. And when you put your faith in the shield of faith, you have the certainty that God's promises are true, even when it appears that it's not happening that way in your life or in that moment. Even if it appears that others are going in a different direction. The Bible says all these burning arrows come at you. And I love the King James version of this. It says the fiery darts. What are those fiery darts that come at you? I think most of them are mental, right? They're the things that Satan puts in your mind. Let me just give you what some of these fiery darts could be. The first one is doubt. I mean, doubt is a fiery dart. Did God really say that? Can you really trust God? Isn't that just your interpretation? Maybe that's for another time, not today. Did God really mean that when He said? And it creates doubt. That's a fiery dart. Discouragement is a fiery dart. Satan goes, you're never going to get any better, right? Things are never going to change. It's only going to get worse. Why do you even try? Discouragement is a fiery dart. Delay. Why is this taking so long? I wanted this to happen right now or by now, and it hasn't happened. God, where are you? Delay is a fiery dart. Difficulty. Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard to make my marriage work? Why is it so hard to get a job? Why, you know, difficulties of life. Depression. I just feel like giving up. I feel like it's not worth it. I feel like I can't even put any effort into it. Depression is a fiery dart. And you need to know that when these fiery darts, these missiles are, you know, you need to know they're going to come. And they'll appeal to your flesh, or they'll appeal to your eyes, or an appeal to your ego. And those will be the ways that He'll come. And here's the application. Darts of doubt and deception. Darts of depression. Listen, they must be immediately met by the shield of faith. And you say, well, what do you mean? That means you do this. That as soon as that comes, you take a specific truth of Scripture and you hold up the shield of faith to deal with that issue. These shields were made in such a way that they would lock together with other people's shields. And so in a battle, you'd have a wall of shields, right? Marching together towards the enemy. And that's a good picture for us as believers. We need to encourage each other as we lock our shields together. We're not in this alone. We're not in this alone. We fight this battle together. It's a dart thrown my way. If a dart's thrown my way, if somebody else's faith can come alongside me and help me, that's encouraging. You don't have to do it alone. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. So you have to have that shield of faith. You're going to carry it with you. I'm going to trust God no matter what my feelings say. I'm going to trust God no matter what my eyes tell me. I'm going to trust God no matter what I'm hearing. I'm going to hold on to the shield of faith and that certainty, and that'll give you confidence. And then the next piece is the helmet of salvation. It says take up the helmet of salvation, or literally it's receive the helmet of salvation. And this is a command for you to take upon this helmet. And it was the last piece of armor that a soldier would put on, and it was made of bronze and leather, and it was the most, you know, obviously the most important gear, because if you get hit on the head, you're out, right? No headless soldiers were going around, right? And so this was the most important gear that he's going to put on before he goes to battle. And the definition here, the word salvation, not only means you're saved from sin forever, you know, the word salvation literally means to be delivered. The moment you come to Christ, you're delivered out of sin. But as you see the word, like in Psalms, or you know, over and over, you hear David talk about it in the Psalms, "Oh God, deliver me." He's talking about deliver me from my enemies. And you have to put on the helmet of salvation and the confidence that we're delivered. The helmet of salvation is the certainty of deliverance from sin and the protection of your minds in the battle. The helmet protects your mind. One commentator says it's the ability to think logically, to reason wisely, and to maintain a biblical worldview in the midst of attacks on your mind and your thinking. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The helmet of salvation. We get God's word in our mind in such a way so that it protects us. It's the truth that protects us, which leads us to the last piece of armor, which is the sword of Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. Then pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this isn't a big, long, heavy sword. This is a sword similar to this right here. My sword guy told me the name of it. I've already forgot it, but you know, it's about 2.5 feet long, right? And you see in the movies, the Roman soldiers use this because this is like close hand-to-hand combat, right? It's double-edged sword, right? It's sharp for hand-to-hand combat. You got to get close to the enemy. The definition of this sword, most times in Scripture, the sword of the Spirit is the Logos, or the Word of God is Logos. But here, with the sword of the Spirit, it's Rhema. It's the spoken word, or words given to us by the Spirit to do close hand-to-hand combat with the lies and deceptions of the enemy. The truth of God's Word quoted and applied to a specific lie or deception that comes from the enemy, that comes to you so that you can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. It's the sword of the Spirit. Jesus modeled this for us, right? I mean, if you want to know what the sword of the Spirit is, open Matthew 4 and watch Jesus do battle with the enemy. The enemy comes and says, you know, if you're the Son of Man, God, if you're Jesus, turn these stones to bread. And He says, it is written, man won't live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema, that proceeds from the mouth of God. over and over again. He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. And he speaks out loud the truth of God into the lie of the enemy. And when he's done, Satan departs. That's what it means to resist the devil. You resist the devil by putting on the full armor of God and taking the sword of the Spirit and coming against the lies with specific truths that apply to the situation. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You have to begin to memorize God's word. Hide it in your heart. It's not your sword until it's in your heart. And you have it memorized and it's there for you. I've hidden your word in my heart. One of the things, he says, if you're going to have the full armor of God, you have to be a man or woman of this book. And I said that last week over and over again. You have to be in God's word. You have to know God's word. You have to begin to hide God's word in your heart. This passage kind of says we have one offensive weapon, right? And it's called the sword, right? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then you can, you know, add the other pieces of like the name of Jesus or the blood of Jesus to begin to do fight, you know, begin to do battle. And you have to draw this sword to fight back against the attacks of the evil one. And you just want to know this, that in your marriage together, you stand together and you just begin to battle. And you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, right? Right? Or I should say, no weapon formed against my marriage will prosper. And you, Or, you know, we are more than conquerors for him through him who loves us. Or we are overcomers. Bam, bam. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? You have your swords, your verses. You need to get you some swords. Wake up every morning and get you some swords and enter into your day for battle. Amen. It's the sword. It's the word of God. If fear comes in, you say, you know, light, my salvation is in the Lord. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? You get a verse, right? You hide it in your heart to do battle. I mean, you know, you go to the dentist. Crown him with many crowns. Right? There's your verse for the dentist. I think Psalms 81 says, open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. There you go. That's your dentist verse. You want to declare it boldly. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you want to be able to say it together. We are more than conquerors, right? You want to say it together. Your marriage together, you know, standing before the battle, fighting not against each other. You know, we're on the same team, but fighting together on the same side of the table against the forces of darkness. So how do we put on this armor? How do you put on the armor every day so that you're protected against Satan and discouragement and doubt and depression and all the things that he throws at you? Well, I want to give you three things to do every day. Three things to do every day to help put on the armor of God. And the first is this. Commit yourself to God. And I know I've shared this over and over, but it starts there. If you're going to do this battle, if you're going to be victorious, if you're going to, you know, be able to get up every day, you've got to commit yourself to God. I love the verse that says this, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so here's what I know. The authority, your authority with the devil is only as strong as your relationship with God. You hear that? Your authority with the devil is only as strong as your relationship with God. And so James says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're really only as successful as at resisting the devil and he will flee from you when you've done the first part of this verse. Submit yourself then to God. Notice the order again. It's your relationship with God that gives you the authority. I don't come in the name of Monty, right? I come in the name of Mighty God. You know, I've spent time with my God. I've surrendered my life. I daily surrender to Him my sin, myself, my selfishness, my stuff. And then I can walk in authority. And again, listen, I'm not walking, you know, in the power of Monty Davis. I'm walking as someone who is fully surrendered and submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important. The second line can't happen without the first line. And that's why we urge you guys to dig deeper and to take deeper steps in your relationship with God. You know, as you're ready, I mean, I get it, everybody's at different places spiritually, but as you're ready, for heaven's sakes, don't stay where you are at. Commit yourself to God. You know, get into His Word more. Be a part of, you know, our Bible studies on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings. Be a part of the men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings and Wednesdays on Thursday and women's on Thursday. Every opportunity you have to grow in your faith, take that opportunity. Commit yourself to God. And the second one, to do every day, close any open doors. And what I mean by that is, again, you can be a believer, you can be a Christian going to heaven, but we can still do things, right? Yeah, that open a door to Satan getting a foothold. And so you have to close open doors. And I'm going to show you a couple of verses that kind of shows that when you leave a crack in the window, what happens is, you know, demonic activity can get in. Look at this verse in 2 Corinthians 2. In 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians church was dealing with a guy that had stepped out of line and said things against the church, and actually said insults toward Paul. And so they had to do discipline with him there. And then we get to 2 Corinthians here, and some people don't think it was severe enough, right? And they're still not wanting to allow him to come back into the church or to move forward. And so Paul comes to him and says, listen, if you forgive anyone, if you forgive this guy, I also forgive him, right? And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. You know, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. And he says, and this is the reason why, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You can't give Satan a foothold, right? Access. Look at this one in Ephesians 4. It says this, in your anger, do not sin. So you can be angry and not sin. There's a line there, right? Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You have to close every open door. And the things that you watch, the things that you listen to. For instance, I heard a lot of people talking about the Grammys and all that went on in the Grammys, and I didn't watch it. But you hear people saying, "Well, you know, it's just entertainment. It's just entertainment," and I would say, "No, it's not. There's something bigger there. There's a battle going on." Close those doors. So here's a verse I try to pray every day. Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I try to pray this every day because I know my heart is deceitful above all else, right? So God, search me, know me. God, have you looked in my life and found something that offends you? Would you please point that out? And let me just tell you, you begin to pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit will do that. You ever played the pointing game with your brother or sister? I mean, my sister used to, you know, start poking me. The Holy Spirit will do the same. He'll start pointing to that place, you know, that you know that you need to turn up. And you'll go, oh. And you go, that's enough. I see it. Now lead me to the way everlasting. God, help me to know how I'm supposed to close that door on that particular area in my life. Listen, it's important. It's important. And the third thing, confront the enemy in prayer. Prayer is the way that you put on the armor. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints." Prayer. Prayer is the way you begin to put on the armor of God. Imagine this. Imagine you get an alert on your phone that says a nearby criminal broke out of a local prison and he's coming for you. And this person's targeting you. They've been stalking you on social media. They know where you live. They hate you. They hate your children. They want to break in. They want to destroy your house. They want to rob you of your belongings. They want to, you know, hurt everything that matters to you, including your children. What would you do? Well, you would be on guard, right? So you'd be so much on guard, it'd be ridiculous, right? If you had that information. Let me tell you what, you may be all about peace, you may be loving and pacifist and all kind of that stuff, but you're putting up security alarms, you're putting a security system in your house, right? You're getting some motion detectors that light up. You're going to sit on your front porch, you're not going to sleep, no, you're going to be sitting on your front porch, you know, with Smith and Wesson sitting right at you. Dogs that bite, right? You're going to tell your neighbors. You're going to warn your kids. You're going to be praying. You're going to be on your guard. In fact, look what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. He says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Don't be asleep. Wake up. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Or I actually could kind of, you know, edit that a little bit. Looking for a marriage to devour. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the faith with the full armor of God. So what we have to do is we have to be alert. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared, right? And it will be hard. And it will take work, and it will take prayer, and it will take tears, and it will take repentance, and it will take forgiveness. But it is possible, because what God blesses, the devil attacks, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So listen, the battle is guaranteed. The enemy is real. Victory is possible if we put on the full armor of God by committing ourselves to Him daily and closing any open doors and confronting the enemy with prayer. Then we can slay the devil. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Father, how you so want to prepare us for the battle that is all around us. Father, I pray for every marriage in this room. I pray for our relationships, God, that you would help us fight against the attacks of Satan. And that, God, we become a warring people that knows how to enter into that battle. And God uses your word, uses, you know, the power of your name. And Father, what you did for us on the cross through your Son Jesus, the blood of Jesus, God, that we can bring that into the battle and say, "Not this time, Satan. Get your hands off our marriages. take your hands off our kids. God, help us be a people that want to armor up every day and enter into the battle, Father, to do your will and to bring you glory. And to help people, to lock shields with people, Father. And to march into the battle together. Using your word to defeat the lies and the deception and the confusion that Satan tries to bring into our relationships, into our world. God, help us to take this seriously. And to know that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Father, you sent Jesus. Jesus, you came to give us life and life to the fullest. Relationships that are strong, marriages that are strong because we are walking in relationship with you, oh God. Father, help us to understand we can't do this alone and we can't do this in our own strength, God. It takes your righteousness. It takes being in a forever relationship with you. And so, Father, if there's one in here today that doesn't know you in that forever way, in that personal way, Father, they've never come to a place where they've said yes to you and invited you into their heart to be your Lord and Savior. Father, give them the strength right now through your power of your Holy Spirit. Draw them into a relationship with you. Right now, right where they sit or right where they are listening, God. It's my prayer that they would just cry out to you. And confess with their mouth that they want you to be the Lord of their life. Believe in their hearts that, God, you sent your Son Jesus to enter into this battle with us and went all the way to the cross, shed his blood so that we might be victorious, so that we might have opportunity to be forgiven and in personal relationship with you, oh God. So right now, just invite him in. Say, I can't do this in my own strength, God. I need you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And then, Father, help us to every day get up and commit to you and close open doors that gives the devil foothold, Father, and begins to confront our enemy with prayer, God. May we begin to enter into this battle fighting from victory to victory because of our relationship with you.